From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest on this week's program is Rain from the Pacific Northwest. Rain's project is Future Primitive, and he's just released a new EP. It's called Luminous. We've got a lot to get to, so let's dive right in. Let's go ahead and start at the beginning. I understand you started playing piano when you were a young kid?
Definitely not. Professionally, I was never even trained. That was just, my mom always likes to tell that story, given that I'm doing music now, just that I like to sit at the piano and point the keys. I seemed to respond a lot to sounds when I was a kid. I think when I was about 8, I took guitar lessons for what amounted to a couple months, and then that became kind of boring to me, like being outside playing with my friends. So other than that, the only real musical education I have is from just being a fan of music and listening to it. And I can more play by ear. I can hear something, for example, and mimic it on a guitar or piano, but I don't really read music. It's a pretty emotional process, I guess, more than anything. But in terms of the musical aspect, that's mostly my training. And as far as the gear, I actually was in a car accident right after high school. And instead of taking the money from the accident to get a new car, I bought my first sampler. And
that's dedication.
It's true. But and so I just trained myself. I mean, for years I was just using little cheesy sequencers that came on built-in synthesizers, and eventually I got my first computer and was sequencing through MIDI, and just mostly self-taught for the most part. Just kept it as a hobby for a lot of years, and then realized I wasn't, as I was DJing, I started DJing in about 92, and I realized I wasn't hearing the music that I wanted to be hearing, and I figured I'd try my hand at making it myself. And after a couple tracks, I started getting decent at it, so I kept at it.
What sort of music were you listening to when you were younger, when you were first maybe getting into music, deciding that, maybe I should grab a sampler or, you know, pick up a guitar? What exactly was going through your headphones at the time?
Sort of three different things. I was listening to a lot of Depeche Mode as a kid, but then also lots of industrial. I was a real big Nine Inch Nails fan and Skinny Puppy, things like that. But also right about that time, I was just discovering house music and techno back then, in the early 90s. And so those three things were all an influence. It wasn't very long before I started really getting into the techno side of things, and by about the mid-90s, the only thing I was really listening to was anything that was instrumental that didn't have words, and that lasted for quite a while. But I'd say it was a mishmash of those three types of music. I mean, Nine Inch Nails and Depeche Mode were both huge influences for me early on, and then house and techno. I was always really into the trance side of stuff, even when I first discovered house and techno music in general, stuff that was more melodic and had strings and pads and things like that. I felt like it was a little more emotionally, had more emotional gravity to it, pulled me in more.
What do you think was able to promote your transition from listening to this music to actually, well, first to DJing it before you were composing it? What led you to believe that, okay, I can actually do this, I can take this music and I can perform, I can be the DJ?
I had a friend who had the idea that he was a DJ, and he wanted to just make a simple drum loop to play in between a couple different songs, just to create his own transition. And we started working on just a drum loop. We were actually using the Funky Drummer drum loop, an old classic. And I had just gotten a first 303 at a garage sale for $175. So we threw an acid line over the top of it, and we ended up making a song. It was pretty small, pretty cheesy, but it was our first song. So we played it at a couple parties that we were DJing at, and that was really my first attempt. I had attempted to make some songs before that, but I guess really that was my first experience with making something and playing it for an audience and getting a real strong buzz about it and learning what worked and what didn't and how to apply that to the next pieces that I worked on. And then from there, I wrote a sort of trancey, breakbeat, down-tempo type song in 96, and that was the first time I had come up with the idea for Future Primitive, and it ended up getting released on a Australian compilation. I don't remember what it's called at the moment. In about 2000 it was released, but that was really my first experience with making something and then seeing an audience react to it. It definitely caught my attention. I had also, I actually forgot, I had taken a electronic music course in college for a term, but because I already had the equipment at home, the teacher was always letting me just do everything from home, so I wasn't really learning much out of the class anyway, but I also had the experience there of, you know, having an assignment to have finish a song on a certain deadline, and I liked how that went as well.
What were you spinning before you were composing your own tracks? What was the sort of style that you were bringing to, say, a party situation when you didn't have, you know, your catalog of stuff that you wanted to get out there personally?
Back then, for me, it was trance. It was completely trance. But I had a couple friends that I played with, and the majority of us played various kinds of trance. The Wonderland sound system all throughout the 90s and even early 2000. And it was sort of rare, because for most of that time, house was really the mainstream part of the underground genre of techno. But it was all early, I don't know if these are going to be relevant names for you at all, but early IQ and Heart House, just stuff that was much more melodic and emotional driven. I was much more pulled to that. It was definitely trance. I collected down tempo, but it was trance. Trance was really what it was about for me for a majority of my DJing career. I still DJ here and there, but anymore my sets are pretty eclectic. I like to play all over the place and not just stick to a single genre.
You've released material through a number of labels. And you alluded to the fact that you got a track on an Australian EP very early on. Can you tell me about when you were first signed, when you were first realizing, okay, this is something I can do, you know, labels are after my tracks, and this is absolutely possible for me?
After that Australian compilation came out, I had been tinkering around here and there, but I also had the big evil day job, and it took up a lot of my time. By the time I'd get home, the last thing to do was sit behind my computer at home and stare into a computer screen for another several hours making music, so that was always a big challenge for me. And then the company that I worked for laid off 200 people, and they offered me to either continue to work for them at a lower price or give me unemployment, which I considered an artistic grant.
Sure.
Really, so I went for the unemployment. I figured I might get it for 3 to 6 months. I ended up getting it for a year and a half. Hope I didn't upset any taxpayers out there. But I got a year and a half off, and I used that time to make the first album. And in the process of that, I met Evan Blutek, actually, on an email forum where people were, you know, up-and-coming artists just submitting their stuff. And he uploaded a couple tracks, and I responded, told him I really liked them, and I uploaded a couple of mine, and he said he really liked them. And then shortly after that, he got his deal with Waveform. And he, after that was in progress, he shared some of my stuff with Boris from Waveform, and my album came out about a year after Evan's did in 2004 on Waveform.
Your sound back then, when you came out with your first full-length debut, Subconscious, how was that different? What sort of sound did you have then versus where you are now?
I was still, at that point in my life, I was really into psychedelic music a lot. Everything from, you know, psychedelic trance and psychill to, you know, Pink Floyd and things like that. And so my music had much more of a psychedelic bent to it. It's a fine line, though. I don't like to go over the top. I think there's a point at which being overly psychedelic in music just gets in its own way, and it's just at that point a series of tricks with a beginning and an end. Overall, though, my music was much more, I'd say, in what people today call the, you know, the psychill genre. I've always been really driven most in music by percussion and bass, so when I make music, that's usually where I start out, and I think the bass line is really prominent all throughout that first album. I like music that has a really rough, sort of gritty low end, and then has a much more, in contrast, sort of lush top end and gentle melodies. I like music that has contrast in it. You go back and forth between tension and, you know, stuff that's rough and aggressive and gentle and lush. So that was really largely a theme. The whole idea of Future Primitive was music that blended together organic instrumentation, anything that you can play in real time and by hand, versus stuff that you can get only out of a computer or a synthesizer that you're not going to hear anywhere else. To me, the best music is stuff that really blends together both of those aspects.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because you decided to interpret your music with a band in the live setting rather than just you playing tracks out of your laptop. How did that idea come about? Was that just the necessary progression of where you were going?
Well, yeah, though I always wanted my music to be more of a 50-50 balance, roughly, that first album, I mean, really most of it is done with a computer. I do my best to integrate lots of artists that I'll bring into the studio or samples and program them in as organic of a way as I can. But it's really largely electronic. And as I'm moving forward, I'm striving to get a little more of a balance there. And more than anything, what drove me to do it was I got tired of being a guy with a laptop and a MIDI controller on stage. Some of my favorite times on stage are doing just that, but I wanted to make it more than that, and I was just ready, and came across a couple of people who were willing to contribute their time. They're actually old friends of mine, so it worked out really well. We're all very like-minded in terms of the music that we listen to and appreciate, so it just seemed like a natural progression. We started getting together, and right now, the band that I play with is mostly there for the live support. I'm still making the music mostly on my own, although we've started to talk about the idea of incorporating stuff from the drummer and the bass player into the music as it's being produced, so that it'll be more of a, I guess, an equal sound by the time you hear it live. But I kind of like the idea, actually, of having a live version that's fairly different. You know, it's everybody has their opinions, but I like going to a concert and hearing a different version or just different instruments used to play the same themes. You know, otherwise you could just go home, put on the CD, and hear the same thing. That's really where the whole idea of the live band came about.
In addition to your bandmates, you've also worked with a vocalist, Alyssa Palmer, is it?
Yep.
Tell me about what her role is and how her collaboration sort of is able to reinterpret what you are trying to do.
Well, in the first album, her and I were actually together for 4 years, so it was. And she has an amazing voice, so it was a real easy connection to make. Her voice is all throughout the first album, but at that point, I really liked the voice mostly as an instrument to convey melody more than words. I felt at the time like words really stared the listener into a specific direction, and I liked the open-endedness of hearing the voice, which is a universal instrument, but more just to convey melody. It really helps. It helps a lot with music that's made with a computer, because otherwise it's so electronic sounding. I think having a human voice in there can really soften it up and add a human feel to it. And I think I was listening to music that had no words in it for so many years. I went through this revelation, and I really fell back in love with music that had words in it again, of all different kinds. And so I just, as her and I have made music together, her voice has become more and more prominent, and eventually to the point where we started incorporating lyrical vocals in the music. And it's a direction right now I'm really happy with. This EP that I just released is all lyrical, three all fully lyrical songs. I don't know exactly what proportion of the music will have lyrics in the album that's released. It's partially written yet, but sometimes I'll have a song I think is done, and then I'll throw lyrics on it last minute and make it, I think it sounds even better. But she has other projects as well that she's working on, so we work together when we can. But I think every time we get together to do something, I think it's really good.
You mentioned Evan Bluetech earlier. Which artists do you think, in the electronic music realm, do you think are really breaking new ground? Or, you know, if they're doing the same old stuff, they've added their own style elements to it.
that can be interpreted a lot of different ways. I think Evan is actually a prime example of that. He's also recently gone to do the whole live band experience. I just think the whole live band experience can be so much more visceral, especially when you're out there on the dance floor. You have more people up there having a good time and doing what they love. It's that much easier to translate that into, you know, the viewer and listener having a good time as well. He's also been adding lyrical vocals to his music, which I think that's a really positive and natural progression. I think not everybody isn't people that are really into more underground electronic music. Not everybody likes it, but, you know, as an artist, you got to follow your muse. And some people like artists that come out and establish a sound and never change, and other people get bored, and so everybody's going to do it different. But I definitely appreciate and respect his decisions that he's made, and I like the direction that he's headed. I'm really liking the sound that people are doing in the sort of dubstep realm, but more playing with it and not doing it just traditionally. Bird of Prey is somebody I've just discovered recently. I think he's out of San Francisco, and I think he does a real phenomenal job of taking the dubstep sound and giving it a little more emotion. It's not quite as angry and aggressive as some of the stuff out there. I like the angry and aggressive stuff too sometimes, but it can get a little overwhelming in a short amount of time. So I've only just now started listening again to what's out there. You work on music long enough at home, and you just don't have it playing in the background when you're not, because your ears get overwhelmed. So
right.
Those are a couple people that I can think of that I think are that I really appreciate in terms of what they're doing.
We got a lot of producers and artists and general nerds in our audience. Can you tell us a bit about some of the gear that you've been using? Something that's maybe become absolutely instrumental to your setup, or something that's really, you know, just grabbing a new piece of gear or software has really opened up some horizons for you in terms of the stuff that you're able to do?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the software that I actually use to write music with, it's primarily Cubase. For me, it's become transparent. I can do things without having to think. I barely have to switch screens to do it. I've purchased all of the sequencing programs out there. I use them all. Cubase is just what I use mostly. Logic, they all have their high points. So in terms of producing music, I use Cubase. When I perform out, I use Live. I strip down the songs to all their individual components, so that way, if and when I have the drummer there and the bass player, I can mute those parts and they can play them live. It also allows me to manipulate, add effects, or just mute certain parts of the songs and play them live. It gives a lot of flexibility that way. I'm a big fan of hardware whenever you can do it. I actually just had the EP mastered by somebody here in Portland, Nick Moon, at Tone Proper, and he has a killer setup. It's some really nice analog gear, and I'm really happy with how the album sounds. You know, if you make everything in the box, to me it just makes sense. Run it through some hardware to give it a little bit of that fuzz and that warmth. It's kind of like the age-old battle of CDs versus vinyl. I grew up DJing vinyl for years, and I'd rather have something be a little impure and sound warm and lush than harsh and digital and maxed out extra loud. What else? My setup is really pretty basic. I have a MIDI controller. You know, I got a launch pad to play live with and do lots of little things, launch clips, play some stuff on the keyboard. I've started playing guitar in my sets more and more. I'm using the guitar more than I ever have. I don't think it'll ever become a lead instrument in my music, but I'm definitely liking the... I come across a lot of melodies when I'm tinkering around on the guitar, so I'm picking that up more and more for inspiration in the studio. I have a pair of Mackie HRA24s for studios. I've been using those for for monitors, and they work really good. I recently switched to Mac about almost a year ago, and I'm really liking the flow of that. It's pretty steady, and the workflow is really good. I like the Mac platform overall better than PC. That's really it. It's pretty simple. I use Apogee for my sound card. I think they have really good sound quality. I have endless amounts of recordings in the voice recorder of me mumbling out some sort of melody I get in my head. And then the first chance I get, I'll come back in the studio and pull up a synth and record it and save it for later. And then I come back, and those are often what end up becoming songs in the album. So
that's great.
Even the iPhone plays a part in my creation process.
I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about how the electronic music scene is in Portland, if it's, you know, chock full of artists or if it's very scant. But what is Portland like to the electronic music fan?
Well, in terms of just music as a whole, it's got a very large musical scene. But in terms of any one genre, in terms of the electronic genre, we definitely have enough of a collective vibe that there are a lot of good nights that are regular. There's some companies throwing parties on a regular basis. It's on a decent night, events will get sold out, and there's a huge collective vibe, and they turn out really good. But once you start getting into the segregating of electronic genres, you know, between dubstep and house and trance, down tempo and everything that's out there, it can start to get a little bit smaller. I think as an electronic music artist, there is a limit to how far you could get if you're not yet touring around and traveling elsewhere. There are a couple that are doing it, and I think they're doing a great job, actually. They're making the most for the city. It's got a lot of enthusiasm, I can tell you that. People who are into music here are really into it, and the genres that they love, they don't hide it. I like that. I like that a lot about Portland. I think it's a great place, but I also am glad that I'm touring. It's nice to be able to come home and play to a big crowd and come home to a place you enjoy. I love Portland. I think it's an awesome city. It could be, I think if it was a little bigger, there would be a little more room for people to fill up the subgenres of techno and make the scene a little bigger. But I think for the size, it does a great job. There's some good promotion companies out there that are doing a good job. Abstract Earth Project is actually one of them. They do a phenomenal Sure. job with their events that they throw here.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you mentioned touring. Are you headed out in support of the Luminous EP?
A little bit. I do have several events lined up. They're not necessarily in support of that. I'll definitely be promoting those on that tour, but some of the bookings were made before the release. Once the decision was made to release the EP, I was originally going to wait, but as it had been a while since I'd released anything, I needed to just get something out there despite the fact that it was only 3 tracks. So it was fairly spontaneous, and some of the shows I have coming up were booked before that announcement was even made. And again, because it's 3 tracks, I'm pretty positive with my fan base. We're doing a good job promoting it, and while I'll be pushing it out there, probably put some of the artwork on promotions for these events. It's not necessarily a tour specifically for the support of the EP. That will definitely be happening once I wrap up the album. I don't have a release date for that yet, but there will definitely be a promotional tour put together, and much more so than the EP.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on the Yunts podcast. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the interview. I appreciate it.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Unz Podcast. Thanks goes to Ian O'Brien with Autonomous Music, Keith LeWinter with Abstract Earth Project, and of course, Rain from Future Primitive. All the music you heard today is on his new EP, Luminous. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theunz.com. Remember to visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. If you want to find out how you can support the Unz in your area, contact Avi@theunz.com. Catch you next week.